At a point of great physical weakness in the desert, Jesus encountered Satan, who tempted him to fall down in worship. Satan seeks to tempt all of God's children to get them to veer off the path God has set before us. The devil tries to trap us into thinking that sin is appealing and its consequences are manageable. Today, more lessons from the desert, the devil, and you. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the fourth of seven messages, we'll learn how our temptations differ from those Jesus had to deal with.
When Satan tempts us, he doesn't come to us like he does Jesus. He doesn't show up in a fury and say, "I'm here, I'm the devil." We would be terrified. So with us, he works it very differently. He works it like we might use a trap to catch a mouse. In our first apartment that Rebecca and I had, we had some mice who were living along with us, and we soon learned that they cannot be caught when you're sitting there. They see you. I remember one scurrying across the floor, and it was a very slippery floor, and he was having such difficulty gaining traction. I still see it in my mind. But we learned that you could have a trap so that even when we weren't there, they would be caught, and they were. And the devil never comes saying, "I'm the devil." He comes with a trap, with a lure, and he has many different lures, and he does not announce his coming. But behind the trap is a trapper, and behind the lie is the liar. And what he does is he puts ideas in our minds that we think are our own with the intention of doing two things. First of all, making sin look good to us, and secondly, convincing us that we can manage the consequences very well. And so, like Ananias and Sapphira, who were sitting there and who decided to be dishonest, and later on Peter says, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" They did not know that their thoughts had actually come from the devil. So that's the way he comes to us. Makes sin look good and lets us think that we can manage it very well, thank you. We can handle the consequences. Well, now to the temptations. You'll notice that the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, and most people who translate it say that it could be translated, if you are. He's not necessarily debating whether Jesus is the Son of God. He says, if you are, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry, turn the stones into bread. Nothing wrong with that. Later on, Jesus is going to feed 5,000 people by his word. But what the devil wants to do is this. He wants to say to Jesus, so this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Really? Then why are you hungry? If you mean so much to God, if God loves you as much as God says he does, explain your hunger to me. If God is on your side, create bread right now. Jesus won't fall for the bait. What Jesus is saying is, if my heavenly Father has mapped out a difficult road for me, I would rather starve here in the desert than do one single thing to somehow have my own way. So Jesus comes back at the devil and quotes from the book of Deuteronomy and says clearly, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That quotation comes from a time in Israel's history when people were angry with God because they were hungry. And God says, I let you go hungry that you might know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's the context. And what the people were really saying is this, we'd prefer bread to your word. And God says in this temptation to Jesus, are you going to be willing to believe my bare word, Or does bread mean more to you than my promises? That's really what's at stake. Parenthesis. You and I don't really live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, do we? We only live by those words that we like. We only live by our favorites. But Jesus quoted a verse here, and the devil says, in effect, being very clever, he says, you quoted a verse? Ha ha ha, I can play your game. I'll quote one too. I'll take a verse out of Psalm 91. And so he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, the eastern wall, the pinnacle there that falls off into the Kidron Valley, and says to him, cast yourself down, because it says in Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hand they shall bear thee up, lest thou cast a foot against the stone. If you believe every word that comes out of the mouth of God, prove this one. And furthermore, you'd be a hero falling from the temple and not dying, but you'd also have proof and vindication that you are God's beloved son after all, because you need to confirm God's word with a miracle. And so jump down from the temple and they'll catch you. Jesus does what every good theologian does. What Jesus does is he corrects the devil's theology with another verse. He doesn't say, well, you know, you're misquoting the verse. No, because he wasn't really misquoting it, but he was saying, you need to balance this over here to put it in context. There's something going on over here. Another parenthesis. There are so many false teachers in the airwaves today, and I spoke about them recently. I can just imagine some of them coming across a promise like in Psalm 91 and say, you know, the Lord just showed me something. We could just jump out of an airplane. We could just do all this and he'd catch us. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you need to balance it by another one. And the other one is, you shall not test the Lord your God. Again, he quotes Deuteronomy, and the context is this. The people were upset because they were hungry and thirsty. And if you look at the context, what they were basically saying was this. They were saying, if you don't provide food and water and do a miracle, we're not going to believe you anymore. Who can trust a God who allows people to be hungry and thirsty? And so they tested God. Give us a miracle or else. Jesus said, never do that. Never put God in a box. Never be presumptuous and say, oh, here's a promise. I'll hop from the pinnacle of the temple and you've got to catch me. Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test, said Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I don't even need a miracle like that to believe that I am God's beloved son in whom he is well pleased. And so Jesus passes that test. And by the way, the devil can indeed quote scripture. But now he comes to the biggie. And the biggie has to do with the possessions and the ownership of the world. The devil, being a scholar in the sense that he reads the Bible, he's read Psalm 2, where it says that someday Jesus is going to sit on the throne and God is going to give him the kingdoms of this world. So the devil comes to Jesus and says, well, Jesus, I'll tell you that if he shows him the kingdoms of this world, we don't know how it happens. Maybe it was some kind of a vision. But we can imagine that all of the opulence that was in existence at that time was seen by Jesus in the company of the devil. I'm thinking, for example, of the great pyramids of Egypt, which already were centuries old by that time. Maybe they saw the Acropolis in Athens, and they saw the great buildings in the city of Rome. And Satan says, Jesus, if you bow and worship me, I'll give them all to you. I'll give them all to you. Worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms. Now, the question, of course, is, did he have a right to do that? Theologians debate it. After all, he is the God of this world, some people say, and they say it was a legitimate offer that he was making to Jesus. But if you think of this theologically, putting all of the things together, I think that there's something else going on here in the text, and that is, I think that the devil was bluffing. If Jesus had bowed down, Jesus would not have received the kingdoms of this world, because sure, he's the God of this world. But remember, he's the God of this world on God's terms, and moment by moment is subject to God. And so he could not have given Jesus that right. But what he's doing is this. He's saying, Jesus, there's an easier way to get the kingdom than to die and be on a cross. Because you can take a shortcut. And if you take a shortcut, you can be wealthy, you can own the kingdoms of this world, and you can be powerful. So you don't have to do it with integrity. You don't have to do it following the Father's plan. No, you simply go ahead and do it. Worship me, and I'll give you. Of course, Jesus said no to that, and he made the statement, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And then he says, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only shall you serve. Wow. What he's saying is no. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and aren't you glad that Jesus said no? And of course, we have to learn from him how to resist Satan. And that involves the Word of God, but it also involves understanding Satan's strategy. And that's why I preach this message. You know, it was in the desert that Jesus Christ was tempted, in the worst possible situation. And of course, we know the rest of the story and how it ended. But the title of this message is The Desert, the Devil, and You. And it's really part of a larger series entitled Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places. I have this deep conviction to help believers to understand that no matter what they are going through, if we have the faith to grasp it, and if we understand God's ways and the devil's techniques and methods, we are able to survive, to be able to keep our faith, our confidence, and our hope in Jesus, no matter what the future might bring to us. And that's why I'm glad to be able to say that in a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And I hope that if you have an opportunity, you will come here and visit us at the Moody Church. We'd be glad to be able to see you, to encourage you. And I hope also to stimulate you to greater faith and good works. So from my heart to yours today, thanks so much for joining us. Go to our website, moodychurch.org, and you can find out more about us. Hope that your day today goes much better than you thought. God bless you.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Desert, the Devil, and You, the fourth of seven messages on famines, deserts, and other hard places. Sometimes we see a quick solution to a crisis and are tempted to dishonor God to meet legitimate needs. Tomorrow, why Jesus did not take this route. Our current series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.